The text is in Romans 12, verse 7, talking about the spiritual gifts. And here is the gift of helps comes across to us as ministry in this passage. Or the gift of ministry, then let us use it in our ministering, or he who teaches in teaching. We're going to stop right there. So we've read the text. You may be seated. Romans chapter 12 is one of my favorite chapters, I think, for so many reasons, but I just love contemplating the spiritual gifts, because to me, it's one of the most colorful aspects of the Christian life, to know that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit Himself, that I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. That is such an overwhelming honor and blessing all by itself, that surely that would be enough. But then to think and to contemplate that God has beyond that, in coming to dwell within me, chosen to work through the course of my life in a specific way over the long haul, manifesting certain aspects of His deity and His supernatural power through my life, and that equates to what my spiritual gift mix is. That to me is just a marvel and a wonder to behold, because it unfolds and unfolds and unfolds as I grow in the Lord. In other words, it is a never-ending discovery. It begins day one, and the discovery goes on throughout my life. We have in front of us the gift of helps, ministering it's called here. Before we get into it, I want to talk to you a little bit from a couple of verses. Can you turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4, looking at verse 15? Here Paul is speaking to the church at Ephesus that he founded with his gifts. Timothy later pastored this church with his gifts. And he says that we are to be speaking the truth in love, and we will grow, we will in all things. And if I could stop right there, we will in all things grow up into Him. So much of the all things comes to us through all of us ministering one to another. And he goes on to say that. We will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament. That's you and I. We are held together by each other, by whom the whole body, held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. Builds itself up in love as each part does its work. What God wants flowing through each one of us as we hold each other together as a body, God wants His love to be flowing through us, each one of us, in such a way that to encounter one another is to encounter in a further way the love of God. In such a way that coming together as we do here, because this is where it works so much, coming together, then that is to come into a fuller experience of the love of God in our lives, in our hearts. Literally, to experience and feel and be filled with His love. But it only happens to the fullest as, what does it say? Each part does its
work.
As each part does its work. What work? The work of being a channel of God's love. As each part is open. Lord, guide me. Lord, work through me. As each part is a channel of God's love, more specifically through the gifts that He's given to you. And as that happens, the body is built up, it grows and builds itself up in love, and each one is doing its part. Now turn to 1 Peter, to chapter 4, verse 10. Here Peter writes and he says, as each one has received a gift. I like that. Because then, no matter who you are, as you came in here today, no matter how low you've been, you are gifted. If you know Jesus Christ, you are gifted. As each one has received a gift. And God doesn't cookie cut His gifts and put them all across many shelves in heaven. They're not like something porcelain that comes out of a mold where they're all the same, sitting on the shelf in a Hallmark store. God's gifts are not like that. When you come to Christ, when you come to salvation, He doesn't say to the Holy Spirit, could you pull another helps off the shelf and give it to him? And could you pull another mercy off the shelf and give it to her? And, this one, could you grab a teaching over here? It's not like that. The gift is the sum total of the blend that He gives you. The blend. And you will have a blend of several gifts, one dominating to carve out who you are. So as each one has received a gift, what do? Well, you minister it to one another. That is so beautiful. But notice, there's responsibility here. It's a holy honor, a holy honorable responsibility. As you've received the gift, minister it to one another. How? As good stewards. As one who is safeguarding and keeping well and watching over the riches of God and that giftedness that He's given you. He says, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What's the manifold grace of God here? It's the fact that He would save you and gift you in a unique way of your own blending. That you see that you take good care of that giftedness and that you're careful to give it away, to give it away, to give it away, to give it away, to be a channel of His love in that way. It's important to see it that way because it is it's a responsibility, but it is the highest and noblest and most honorable responsibility we could ever be given. And it speaks of safeguarding and cultivating. In order to do that, we are then having this study. And we are in the process of discovering, deploying, and developing, I would say, our spiritual gifts. Discovering, deploying, and developing. Getting them out there, using them. And we do it, and we want to do it, really seeking the honor of God. So that we don't do it for the honor of man, we do it for the honor of God. You know what will happen? You'll be so free that if you don't get any honor from man, it won't matter. Because you'll have the supreme honor from the one who in the end supremely matters. And that is God Himself. George MacDonald once said that when one seeks the honor that comes from God only, he will take the withholding of honor that comes from men very quietly indeed. I like that. When you seek the honor that comes from God only, and men don't give you any honor, you'll take it very quietly indeed because it won't matter to you. It won't matter because you'll feel the smile of God upon your soul and upon your life and His approval. And whether man gives you honor or praise or not, it just simply won't matter. And you will be free to move in your giftedness as a channel of love in the body of Christ, discovering and developing your gifts. So realize that as you discover your gifts, there is a developing of them. And it happens as we interact effectively in front of each other. One to another, that's in front of each other. Let me give you an example. You have a gift mix. So that comes together to be who you are. In front of each other, you practice, you make your moves, you do what you do. The best example at the moment that comes to my mind is this. I have several surfboards since my comeback after my 20-year retirement 2 years ago. I now have several surfboards. And each one is a little bit different. Now, they all come together to serve the way I surf. So that in the end, if you're with me surfing, you will see my style coming through. Hopefully you'll see a style. But I have found, and ask any surfer, it's the same with you ball players and you knitters and everyone else in between. I have found that when the guys are out there and I'm surfing in front of the guys, I develop my surfing talents better. If I know that the fellas are paddling out, and I see them all coming out, and I stroke into a big, long, clean, sloping, peaky wave. Man, my juices are pumping. And I'm going to come off that bottom spray flying, and I'm going to tuck down into that tube, and it's going to come over me, and I'm in the barrel while they're screaming and yelling and doing the camera thing at me, paddling out, you know, and I know the boys see me. And I'm going to come out off the lip, spray flying, head drenched, and the boys cheering, and woohoo, you know, the surfer hoot, and I am happening. Either that or I'm going to wipe out immediately and embarrass all of them, and they'll act like they don't know me for the next hour. But we develop ourselves and our gifts the same way. It's together. It's in front of each other, one to another. We are a family. And it's one to another that the love of God flows from us. Now, in talking about the right gifts in your life, we talked about prophecy already last time. This time, due to the time constraints of today, we're going to talk about one thing helps, and that is in verse 7. Here, Paul refers to it as ministry. He says it's ministry. If you have that, use it in your ministering. I say helps because in 1 Corinthians 12:28, it comes across, Paul lists off the gifts, and it comes across as helps there in your English Bible. It is a different word, but it's the same gift. In other words, in Romans 12:7, the word ministry is the Greek word diakonia, from which we get the word in English deacon. In 1 Corinthians 12:28, the word is antalempsis, and it's a beautiful word. It means to take the burden off someone else and put it on you. Just a tremendous, tremendous gift. Now, I want to say as we move into the gift that I believe firmly that all of us have some part of this gift. Because we're called by God to serve one another. Now, helps may not be my ministry, but I have a bit of that giftedness in me. I know that. I believe that because we're all called by God to serve one another. So we all have at least a little bit in that of helps in our mix. So I want to say that so you don't walk away from here today and go, well, I'm not called to that. Definitely not. I'm not a help. I don't do help. I do other things. No, we all are called to pitch in and help. And God will, by His Spirit, enable us. But some are really greatly gifted. So bear that in mind as we move forward. Where do we see this in the Bible? Taking the burden off someone else and placing it on yourself. Turn in your Bible, could you, to Acts chapter 6, to verse 1. Acts chapter 6, 1. This is often referred to as the appointment of the deacons, coming from that word diakonos or diakonio. In Acts, it means to wait on tables. In Acts 6, 1. In those days when the number of the disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews, just coming together out of different cultures at Jerusalem. They complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So here's a need. It's widows and they need food. So that the Grecian widows, when the food was all passed out, they weren't getting any. It's a tragic thing. So it comes to the attention of the 12 in verse 2. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God." And here's the word, translated this way, "in order to wait on tables." You see, to wait on tables, the Greek, diakonia, Romans 12:7, diakonia, same root word. It's the idea of attending, to wait upon, to take the burden off someone else and place it on yourself. So they say here in verse 3, "Choose 7 men from among you who are..." Now remember, we are studying gifts of the Holy Spirit. These gifts operate in our lives as we walk with God and we're filled with the Holy Spirit. That's when they're operating. So, wanting people that are fully operational, if I could put it that way. That's why they say, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over to them, stewards of the manifold grace of God, gifted in helps. Why? Because these 12 were gifted in other ways. They said, we will give ourselves our attention to prayer and to the ministry of the word continually. They were gifted in pastor teaching. So they turn it over to those that are gifted in helps to help these widows. It's a great example in the Bible. The amazing thing about this is that helps is understated and underrated, I believe, in the body of Christ. I think it's part of the main driving energy in the body of Christ. We look at the spotlight gifts, like leading worship or evangelism or whatever, and then we look at helps and we think, well, those are the biggies. Helps is all right. That is a very aberrant way of looking at it, because these are spiritual gifts. So that no gift is more spiritual than the next. Does that make sense? It's all the Holy Spirit manifesting a part of God in a certain way. Jesus said, I am among you as a helper, servant, and I will send the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and He will be your... I will send you another helper. I'm among you as one who serves, He said. He washed the disciples' feet, effectively operating in the gift of helps on the night of the Last Supper. It wasn't beyond Him. It wasn't beyond the Son of God to have helps operating through Him and His ministry. I honestly believe helps is downplayed, discounted, underrated, and understated in the body of Christ. I believe it is a magnificent ministry. And without it, no other ministry really can take place. Please see that. I want you to see that because I want to take you to an astonishing thing. One of the greatest miracles in the whole Bible, and it's focused on and centered around the gift of helps. Hang a right in the book of Acts, could you, to chapter 9. In chapter 6, go right to chapter 9, to verse 36. Now, here is this woman. Her name is Dorcas. She lives at Joppa. Before we look at this, let me say this. It's one of the few sayings I've ever made up. I quote a lot of people, very few of my own quotes, maybe 5 or 6, and I forget most of them. But one saying I do remember that I made up is, whenever God is doing something very significant, He is also doing many things very significant. When God is doing one thing that is very significant, He is also doing many things at the same time that are very significant. That's the picture right here. So here is this woman, Dorcas. At Joppa, a certain disciple, Acts 9:36, named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works. Wouldn't it be great if God could put a label on your life, if He could be writing out name tags and labels, and He could put your name and give it to you, your name tag, and full of good works was written on there? That's what He wrote on this lady's name tag. And this woman was full of good works. Just a tremendous example. Let me find where I am here. Full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. Having the gift of serving, helping, see that you help, Paul says. See that you minister. She did. And it happened in those days, in verse 37, she became sick and she died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent 2 men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. So this incident draws Peter to Joppa. Peter came to them. He arose and he went to them. This is such a touching scene. And when he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows, notice all, each one of them had been touched by this one woman's life. All. Peter walks in the room and they gather around him. They're weeping, all of them holding something that had come from the hands of Dorcas. It's a very touching scene. Peter arose and went to him. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, verse 39, and all the widows stood by him weeping, bringing out, showing the tunics. I got this sweater from her, the garment. She made me this dress. I was so cold at night, and she made me this blanket, showing the things that Dorcas had made while she was with them. You see, she helped people who were not being helped by anyone else, and they didn't want her gone, and they were weeping. Now, in order to operate in your spiritual gift, you have to be led by the Holy Spirit. So here is Peter, and he's standing there. And he is doing what we all have to learn how to do. Here is all this commotion and compassion and turmoil and sorrow and heartbreak and mourning. And in the middle of all of that input, he has to stop in his heart and say, God, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do now? Do I say something? Do I do something? Show me what to do. And we must all learn to say that. Holy Spirit, what do I do now? Do I hold my tongue? Do I say something? If so, what? Do I make a move? Do I act? Holy Spirit, what do I do? He had to be in that place. God, what should I do? Put them all out. So he ushers them all out. Lord, what do I do now? I want you to pray. He gets on his knees. He knelt down and he prayed. And as he prayed, the Holy Spirit was ministering to him. This is not something in a manual. Widow dies. Go in. Get them all out of the room. Next page. Kneel down and pray. This isn't a manual. This is Spirit-led, Spirit-gifted ministry. He knelt down and he prayed. And then turning to the body. Notice turning to the body. There is no soul sleep in our Bibles. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, turning to the body. Turning to the body, may I say it, with the words of his master ringing in his head. I believe as he knelt down and he prayed, he had the words of Christ ringing in his head, Lazarus, come forth, ringing, echoing. And he remembered the master calling by name Lazarus forth from the dead, who had been dead 4 days. And his sister says, don't bring him out of there. By now he stinketh. He's getting gooey in there. His whole body's all gooey and yucky. Oh no. Which means God had to give him a brand new body instantly. And when he hopped out, wound in grave clothes, and Jesus, they're all just... And Jesus says, somebody untie the guy. You know, loose him. And as they unwind, oh my gosh, it's brand new. Let me touch it. Woo! You know, and he had a brand new body. All of this, I believe, as he kneels down, flashes before his mind, echoes in his head. And Peter then coming up from prayer, guided by the Holy Spirit, turns to the body and he says, Tabitha, arise. And she was dead, but she came to life and she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up and he gave her his hand. Can you imagine the rush of the life of God surging through that hand and her hand as it met his? The rush those two felt of the life of God, the Holy Spirit in that room and in their bodies. He gave her his hand and he lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and the widows, in other words, he called the whole congregation and he came out and he said, she's alive. Can you imagine how they rejoiced and praised God? It was incredible. It's one of the greatest miracles in the Bible. And it became known throughout all Joppa. Then many believed on the Lord. Peter got to preach and people came to Christ. That delayed him. And because he was delayed, as Cornelius is over here on the side, praying that God would send somebody, an angel comes, goes dispatched to Joppa, and Peter ends up going from the house of the tanner over to Cornelius. He preaches the gospel, and all of them get saved. You understand? When God is doing one significant thing, he's doing many significant things. Don't ever forget that. And so as we simply obey and operate in the leading of the Spirit, He works in us and through us in our giftedness. Now that is a huge example. Let me take you down to one more mundane and real life sweet example. One writer shares, a few years ago, I was sitting at the front of our church with the other deacons, waiting for a young couple to come forward and be welcomed into the membership. As the pastor called their names, they stood, and a woman seated across the aisle and four rows ahead of them left her seat, got up, walked over to the couple, took their infant daughter from the mother, and went out to the foyer and sat and cared for the infant as the mother and the husband came up to the front. The writer says, a small act of a modern-day Dorcas, to be sure, but typical of this woman's service in that church, to that congregation, and representative of the gift of helps to those people. You see, helps is expressed in many, many ways, but it is effectively the plasma. It is the plasma to the lifeblood of the church. It is a wonderful, wonderful gift. Now, having said all that, you can see God, see if you're gifted in that way. Those of you married can see if your spouse is gifted in that way, your friends, whatever. But I want to give you, just as we finish, a few things, practical observations to keep in mind about people that are gifted in this way. So that if you live with a help, if we could put it like that, someone gifted to help and helps. If you live with one, then you can understand how to live with them happily. And they can understand themselves and live with you happily. And we can all live together happy. A few things. This person is typically characterized by a less talk, more action approach. Very natural. The evangelist wants to talk. The helps wants to get the job done. Less talk, more action. So that they get impatient when others approach a project, for example, from the vantage point of other gifts. That's because of the way they are gifted. They want action. They get a tremendous satisfaction from the action. Understand that. So it's important, I think, we all need encouragement. It's important to validate one another as we see God operating through each other. Ultimately, we want His honor, but at the same time, that love does validate what we see to be God working through the individual. They get great satisfaction in helping, moving things along. It seems to me that people with the gift of helps have a great memory for likes and dislikes. To me, like a secretary, there's this tremendous memory for what people like and don't like. Paul wrote of Timothy in Philippians 2:20, says, "For I have no other man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." Timothy had a gift of remembering the likes and dislikes of the people, their needs. So another thing about people with the gift of helps is that sometimes they are confused when others don't help like they do. Case in point, Luke 10:40. "But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Jesus and said, 'Lord, don't you care? My sister's left me to do all the work by myself, and she's just sitting here at your feet.'" She actually said this to Jesus. "Tell her to help me." What else would a help say? Gift of helps, occupied with helps. "Tell her to help me." Little did she know that Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus and He was counseling her on how to live with a help. It's a joke. But you see, she's confused because Mary was gifted in a different way. Now, remember, this is a spiritual gift. It's the kind of thing that you could be so lazy as the day is long before you're converted. You get converted and suddenly you just can't help it. You love to help. Spiritual gift. So the closer you walk with God, the more in step with the Holy Spirit you are, the more you're going to be operating in your gift of helps, right? The more you're going to get done, the more you'll see accomplished, the more fulfilled you will be. What then will happen to you if this is your area of giftedness, if you slide away from the Lord? "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the life I love." What happens to you in that case? Well, obviously, that gift is going to wither, right? And dry up, because it's only in operation as you walk in the Spirit. So if you have the gift of helps and you drift from the Lord, then so goes your helping. What happens at that point is that often that type of individual will get really depressed. Why? Because in the new birth and their new life with God, they get so much satisfaction from operating in their gifts, as we all do, that without that there, they're very prone to get really depressed. And maybe not even pinpoint. I'm really depressed because I'm not doing what God has wired me to do spiritually, and thus there's a big emptiness there. And they're also prone to pity parties at that time. Nobody cares. I'm never going to serve again. The best thing you can do for them at that point is to say, you know what's wrong with you? You obviously have the gift of helps. You've obviously drifted from God. Why don't you get back right with God? Why don't you flourish again in the walk with the Spirit and do the thing God's gifted you to do and get fulfilled in the way that only He can fulfill you, and you'll get out of this depression and out of this pity party and into the glory of God. That's the best thing you can do for someone like that. One other thought is they tend to spread themselves too thin because they love to help. They just end up doing a lot. But it's the kind of thing that you need to be careful with so that you don't get so blown out physically that you almost die. And so we live before God and walk in the Spirit to keep the balance. And we find that we end up doing what God has asked us to do. And in the end, we live the life we love because we're given this life by the God who first loved us. That is what each one of us must do. What is it that you've gifted me to do? Just let me know, Lord. Show me. Make it clear. And I will do it. And then get about doing it. And find the fulfillment He has for you in this life. Let's pray, shall we? Thank you, Lord, that you're the giver of all great gifts. Thank you that out of your riches in Jesus, you give and give and give again. Father, stir the hearts of all of us here by your Holy Spirit. Manifest our giftedness within us. In Jesus' almighty and precious name, amen.